And the ravens came and gave him some food. And the angel of the Lord said to him, eat, for the journey is too great for you. Amen. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't have a clue the direction he should have been. All he knew was this voice of Jezebel screaming in his ear, failure, hopelessness, loneliness, brokenness. That's all. And eventually all of a sudden the Lord tells him to get up on a mountain. There was a great wind. Then there was a great shaking. Then all of a sudden there was a still, small voice. And sometimes in the midst of the shaking, sometimes in the midst of the great winds, and sometimes in the midst of a journey where you don't really know where you're heading, God has to be to get you alone enough to be still. And sometimes, you know, Christians fight that. Christians fight that. God is trying to orchestrate some of them to be still, and they think they're wasting time. Oh no, we've got to be. I've got too much to do. I've got to do something. Yeah. I've learned a valuable lesson as I'm getting older. There's always something to do. Always. There's always something to do. Amen. I hear young men say this, I've just got to do this and my house will be finished. Listen, it'll never be finished. There will always be something to do. Amen. Just like our toilet, eh, love? There is always, I was going to bring a picture, but I thought, better not. It looks like a devil, actually. This thing resurrecting out the ground. But there is always something to do. And all of a sudden, you have to learn prioritizing things. And it will cost you something. And for this generation, their most valuable asset is their time. It is. But can you give him some time? Can you make time for him? Can you, it says to redeem the time. Can you purchase back some time for him so you can get perspective of heaven instead of your own perspective and doing? And sometimes, just sometimes in the midst of that, he will give you the wisdom to be able to do what you need to do without overthinking something. Amen? Because most of us are like the rest of us. A lot of us are just overthinkers. We overthink things. And we think of things that might never happen. And we've already got a plan just in case it does happen. Yet it hasn't even happened. And it might never happen. But we better have a plan just in case. So we have all this going through our heads. And yet very little of the word going through our head. Amen? Are you with me this morning? So he spoke to Paul, he spoke to John. Speak to you and I. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. I've actually put it up there for you. I want to challenge you this morning. Please bring your to church. If you haven't got a written one, please look at it. But please get in the habit of reading your Bible daily. Are you with me? Says this, says 9 and 6, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And everyone loves that scripture. Oh, you just don't know what God has for you. But they don't finish it. Read the next verse. But God has what? Revealed them to us through his? Everything he wants for your life, he wants to reveal to you through the Spirit. God's mysteries, he wants you to know through the Spirit. Are you with me? For the Spirit searches the things, all things, yes, the deep things of God. Who wants to know the deep things of God? Who wants to know the mindset of the Spirit? Who wants to know what God wants to, is up to next? Who wants just to have a surprise? For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even So, let me get my glasses on. Even so, no one knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. That's why I must be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? In fact, the book of John says it like this, the Spirit of Truth. He mentions it three times, the Spirit of Truth, and then if you go to his epistles, he mentions the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. Sometimes when the truth is speaking to you, you mightn't like the truth. But the truth will make me free. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that has been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which Spirit teaches. How does he teach me? With what? With words. We're going to get into that in a minute. Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural mind does not receive and does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, to know the things of God, I have to hear the Word of God, and I have to then spiritually discern the Word. With me. But he who is spiritual judges all things, or spiritual, or just discerns all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? We can't instruct God. But you have the mind. You can't instruct him, but the mind of Christ is to serve him. I'm going to say that again. You can't ever instruct God, but you certainly have the mind of Christ to serve God. Amen. John 10, 1 and 5 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hears. The sheep what? Not hopefully hear his voice, not sometimes hear his voice. They hear his voice. They hear his voice. And he calls his sheep by his name and leads them out. He brings out his own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's why it's imperative as sons and daughters of God to get familiar with the voice of God. That's why a lot of people get deceived because they don't know the voice of God. And I'm going to chuck it out there. There's a lot of voices that are trying to speak to you. A lot of voices trying to speak to you. Amen. Yet they will by no means follow the stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Their ear is so tuned to the voice of it, they can distinguish the difference of voice. Therefore, they will only follow the voice of the shepherd. Amen. But there is other voices. There is other voices. All the time, trying to speak. The two greatest voices that are speaking to you and me every day are two unbelievers I carry around with me every day. Every day. My soul and my old man. My soul is being renewed. It is being transformed by the power of the Word of God. My flesh will not be saved, but he's constantly speaking. He's constantly speaking to say, you don't have to do that. Chill out. No one knows. No one will see that. No one's heard that. Don't worry about it. That's your flesh. Two unbelievers you carry around every day of your life. And you can get a picture of that, of the crucifixion. The thief, the two thieves. One was going to be in paradise with him, your soul. The other one will die. And Jesus, the Spirit, lives forever. John 8 and 47 says this, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. He's talking about it on a continuous basis. Amen? Next one, please. But if you're born again, you have the privilege, right, the honor to hear the voice of God the Father. Who believes that? If one thing you leave here this morning with is this, I as a child of God have the privilege and right to hear the Father. Amen. The voice of God the Father, but I must position myself to hear and discipline myself to be taught by the Spirit. I've got to position myself to hear, yet discipline myself to be taught. Because doesn't it in 1 John chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things? All things. Amen? So be taught by the Spirit through the Word to become a discerner of spiritual things from soulish things. Dividing soul and? What does the Word do? Bring divide soul and? Bone and? Amen. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is the discerner. So in other words, it brings discernment. The Word of God brings discernment. Amen. Of thoughts and intents of heart. Psalm 46 and 10, I've already said that. But there was a man in King in 1 Kings 19, which is Elijah, that because of the problem he's going through, couldn't hear. I want to talk to you this morning who are struggling to hear the voice of God. God speaks in different ways in various forms. But all forms will leave an impression on your spirit. Very rarely do you hear the audible voice of God. I want to say that right now. It is very, very rare you would literally hear the audible voice of God, where you hear it in your ear. Moses had that experience. Abraham had that experience. Adam had that experience. But not everyone has that experience. Amen. Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, how did he hear? Go to Bethlehem. Get out of here and go down to Egypt. How did he hear? He heard by dreams. In fact, you will never ever hear or see or read where Joseph was moved by any other way but by dreams. Dreams. So pick the people in dreams. Your young man shall see visions and your old man shall dream. In other words, he will speak to them. He speaks in visions. The Old Testament will call them seers because they see things. Yeah? Are you with me? But for most of us, he will speak to us in the still small voice in my mind through impression in my spirit. Because inside of me, if you're born again here this morning, inside of you lives the person called the Holy Ghost. And he will speak on behalf of the Father. Amen. But also, the other greatest way he will speak to me is through his word. Here is the dilemma. And I'm not throwing this out to blame anyone or hurt anyone or whatever, you know, don't feel condemned. Most Christians are not reading their Bible. Therefore, you've just stopped on the greatest, if not the greatest avenue for you to hear the voice of God. And that what causes then is this. It causes confusion because the other voices are still speaking. The other voices still want a part of you. They're still speaking. And if my ear gets distuned to the voice and I don't know the character of the Father, the Word of God tells the character of God. Yeah? That's all right, love. We've all had babies. The Word of God reveals the character of God. So when I'm reading the Word of God, understanding Him, I'm getting to know Him. Therefore, the Bible says this. I can't remember where it says it now. Psalms, right? His word is above His name. Thanks, darling. Psalm 38, 2. His word is above His name. In other words, if someone says to you or me, thus saith the Lord, and it's not, it's wrong. And I don't care what they do. In fact, I'm going to show you a scripture in Deuteronomy where the prophets of old started prophesying things and it came to pass. And most of us say, oh, you only measure a prophet by if it comes to pass. That is not true. That is not true. It come to pass and align to the word. If it just comes to pass, it can still be false. Are you with me? So the prophets of old, in fact, let's turn there, Deuteronomy. It's up there, Deuteronomy 13, 1 and 5. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, notice the dreams, because even dreams are prophetic. Sometimes you've had dreams and they're prophetic and you don't even know they're prophetic. I've just had a dream. But it's really God's way of trying to talk to you. And if that doesn't happen, he'll cause you to see something. And it doesn't have to be this spooky vision. It doesn't have to be that. You can just see something besides that. All of a sudden, God impresses something in your spirit. Amen? It says, and he gives a sign, gives you a sign and a wonder. And the sign and the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods. The prophet has prophesied something. It's actually happened. Then he speaks something that is contrary to the word. Let's go after other gods. Because what does the Bible say? You shall have no other. Immediately God says, I've just tested you. I've just tested you. To see if you do that. So what he's saying is, be obedient to the word more than a voice. We need the prophetic voice. We need to hear prophecy. But every prophecy better line up to the word. Amen. This is the thing that the Holy Ghost calls discernment. Amen. Just because it's fulfilled doesn't mean it's God. If the prophecy then comes, thus saith the Lord, you're free to marry a new wife. Thus saith the Lord, you can leave her and move on. God has a new thing for you. God wants to do a brand new thing in your life. I've actually had someone say that to me. God's told me I can leave my wife and get another one. I said, really? Really? Yeah. I said, wrong God. I said, he will never violate his word. Ever. Do you think God will break up a marriage so you can be happy? Get a grip. Don't worry, be happy. That's the world saying. And people have come out with some, I really believe heaven got wowed by it. Wow, did you really say that, Jesus? I mean, it must take heaven by surprise, some of the stuff that people bring out. I mean, it's cuckoo. It's just out there, it's rubbish. Because you see, they get caught so much caught up in the things of the spirit realm, there's no balance with the word. And you better understand. You see, if you don't know your word, if you do not know your word, you can be led astray. I remember years ago, I was called to a meeting, pastor's meeting, years and years ago. My pastor friend, we went to this meeting. There was a speaker from America come, this lady. Everyone was in, woo, she's awesome, she's prophesying. I don't give a flip about that stuff, really. I really don't. I mean, if God can get a donkey to prophesy, yeah. Don't get me wrong, we need the prophet. All right? But it better line up to the word. So this woman comes out and she says, I had a visitation last night from Daniel. I said, whoop, let's go. He goes, where are you going? I said, I'm out of here. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you know your word? Yeah. She had a visitation. Daniel is dead. I said, then the Satan comes as an angel of? Daniel is dead. He ain't coming out the grave, is it? Cuckoo. And there's a lot of cuckoo around. Hear me, there's a lot of cuckoo. And you've had to have discernment to know what is and what is spirit. And you'll only get that out of what? The Word. Hear me, it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. You need to be in your Word. Because the hour is coming where there's a lot of voices bringing deception. The first thing Jesus said when they asked him, tell me the sign of your coming. Do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, and many shall prophesy. Do not be deceived. And the only way that stops deception is when I am in fellowship with the Holy Ghost and Word. And I know that I know that I know he will never violate the truth of his Word. How do I know that? Because he is the Word. I'm talking about a person. Jesus won't violate himself. It says, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep what? His what? There was a commandments written on the tablets of stone. In other words, don't worry about what they're saying. Worry about what I've read. If it lines up with what I've read, written, you can do it. If it doesn't line up, stay away from it. In fact, what he says then is kill him. That's what he said there. Kill him. Galatians 1 and 8 says this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached, let him be cursed. In other words, you've got to know what you know. And the problem is, I'm jumping around a bit. One of the biggest issues is this. People are not reading their Bible, so they're going from students of the Word, because it doesn't say, Timothy, study yourself to be approved. Does it say that? Does it? Come on. I'm going to be really on your case. Does the Bible say study to show yourself approved? Yes, it does. Study to show yourself approved. Now, you can be a student of the Word, or you can be a scavenger. What do you mean by that? Coming week by week to hear a word from the Lord or a preach that is of the Word, and then hopefully that will keep you till the following week. Or waiting for a prophet to prophesy over you. So you get a different type of word, because man lives by, not bread alone, but by what? Every word, prophetic words, and also the written word out of the mouth of God. In other words, it will cause me to live. I can feed off it. I can grow from it. I can establish myself. I can mature through it. Amen? Where was I? Student of the Word or a skeptic. So what do I mean by that? I can go from meeting to meeting, wanting to hear a word. I can go meeting to meeting. I can turn on God TV. I can turn on God TV and hear sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon and never open your Bible. Never open your Bible. And you go, wait, well, that was really... Well, how do you know? You don't even read it. They could be saying anything. I've heard stuff from God TV that's absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely cuckoo. I need to repent. What a load of codswallop. You don't need to repent. Say that to the seven churches of Revelations. He starts it off. Repent. Five out of the seven, you said it, yeah. Just testing them. But can you understand what I'm saying? That gospel is so beautiful. It is, because now I'm free to do anything I want to do. I can do anything I want to do. I never have to repent. There's no consequence of anything. He's done it all for me. So therefore, I can do anything, and guess what? I'll still get everything. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a false doctrine. It's a false gospel that will lead you astray. You don't read your Bible, and I'm telling you now, there's thousands following that gospel. Thousands following that gospel. Your God requires things of you. He requires. Without holiness, you'll not see. Is that what the Bible says? Without holiness, you'll not see God? Does it? Am I speaking gospel? I'm going to provoke you this morning. I want to provoke you. Because you're going to be living in an hour where, guess what? You mightn't be able to get to a church. You mightn't be able to hit you except on TV. And do you honestly think that the Antichrist is not going to start preaching a word? Don't you think he's not going to preach something? He's going to preach such a word that it's going to, oh, the whole world is going to come under it. And if it wasn't for him, even the very elect would be deceived. I'm going to stop. I'm about half a page in. I'll keep going. Week after week, I'm going to keep going on this. I know God is requiring you to read your word. He wants you to be a people of discernment. He wants you to be a people. And hear me. You say, well, how, you know, I struggle in reading. I just struggle in reading. Just be obedient. Please, if you honor him, he will honor you. If you're obedient, and I don't, it's not the quantity. It's not the quantity. I can sometimes be just in one verse for a week. It's not the quantity. It's when he keeps speaking to me, I'm keep receiving. And it's when he stops speaking to me, I move on. Your wants to speak just to you. He wants me to get the mindset of the Spirit. He wants me to be in communion with the Holy Ghost through prayer. How is your prayer life? When's the last time you dusted your Bible off? Or opened your app, whatever you do. He wants you to be in communion with him. So when things are said, you can weigh it according to Scripture. Come on. Are you with me? It's very quiet in this Pentecostal church. And Pentecostals, please listen to me on this. I want you to understand something. In the Old Testament, there are three feasts which the Jewish people had to partake of. They had to go to Jerusalem to partake of. Does anyone know what they are? Passover? No. Pentecost? Come on now, come on. Has anyone read Leviticus? Anyone read Deuteronomy? Right. No hands went up but mine. Feast of Trumpets. Or the Feast of Tabernacles. Right? Every feast bar one. Sukkot, yeah. Every feast bar one had to break bread. All feasts had to break bread. Two of the feasts, unleavened bread. What does leaven speak of in the Bible? Sin. Jesus said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember that? Leaven speaks of sin. Pentecost. This is why Pentecost, I don't know why you get so upset sometimes. Pentecost is celebrated by two loaves. What does two mean? Witness. Leavened bread. That's why the Bible says you'll prophesy in part, you'll know in part. There is mixture in Pentecost. Is that too heavy? That's why if you stay in this dome of Pentecost, that's why you will feel deceived. You will be hurt. You will be abused, and you will, because Pentecost, everything is in part, because the feast not just has the leaven of unleavened bread of Jesus, but it has the leavened bread. And this is sin. That's why Jesus is coming back to judge the house. We're not to stay in Pentecost. not to stay in Pentecost. You had to mature. You had to grow up. And then the last feast is what? Tabernacles. Does anyone know what happens in tabernacles? Eh? You dwell in tents. In other words, it's called booths. Everyone, whether you're rich, poor, healthy, weak, prominent in stature, or no one, a slave. Everyone had to leave their house, get in the street, and build the same booth. And wear the same clothes. In other words, tabernacles, which was Jesus' ultimate aim for the church, is total unity. Stripped away of pride, stripped away of status, stripped away of people's opinions and thoughts, because no one knew who anyone was, because you all looked the same and you all lived the same. That's where he wants me to be. Because only in unity it commands the... That's it. And I know we shout, oh God, we stand in unity and we command the blessing of heaven to fall down. And while the blessing of heaven is falling down, someone's stabbing in the back. That's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. Are we okay? Are we still breathing? I'm trying to give you some bread so you can grow up. I'm trying to share word with you to mature you. And I can do what, but if you leave here with an attitude of, well, that was nice, wonder what he's going to preach next week. What you're doing is, you're only eating of my scraps. Yet there's a feast for you at his table. Come on now. David showed us this perfect picture. David's the king. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, was crippled. Remember that? Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 9 or 1 Samuel chapter 9. He was crippled. David says, is there anyone of Jonathan's house left? Jonathan's a type of Christ in this picture. The love between Jonathan and David was like a man loving a woman. And a lot of people have twisted that, made it sick, but it means so intimate and so communicative, so one as brothers. And he wanted to honor the promise. And the king was looking to honor us. Do you know the king is looking to honor the promise to the one who he loves? His name's Jesus Christ. But he's got his sons, he's got daughters that are crippled, twisted, broken, abused, feeling left out. He lost his inheritance. He was cut off from the covenant. And David brought him back in. Do you know you and I were never in covenant with God until Jesus? We were alien to the Commonwealth of Israel. We were hopelessly lost. And as a son, we can have broken feet. My walk's not the way it should be. My heart's not in the place it should be. And there's an invite from the king to come and sit at the table of the son. The king never brought up his problem. Never talked about his feet. Never talked about his lameness. Just says, come and eat. I want to tell you this morning, there's an invitation to you. And don't allow your brokenness. Don't allow your lack. Don't allow what you feel. Don't allow what people have done to you. He was carried as a child and he was dropped by the woman and he became lame. He could have spent his whole life blaming her. And you know, some Christians, their whole life blaming someone else for their predicament and problem. And all the time there's an invitation to you to come to the table. But the problem sometimes can be so great you don't know where the table is. And when you eat of his delicacies, that which has been made weak becomes strong. Each one of you and I, and myself, are invited daily to table, every day. Come and eat. Jesus said to his disciples, I have food that you know not of. And it sustained him. Do you know the food of the Spirit will sustain you in your trial? Do you know the food of the Spirit will cause you to sleep in your storm? Do you know the food of the Spirit will make you get up and say, I must be about my Father's? To be about it, you must know what it is. Who wants that for their life? Let's stand this morning. We'll continue this on another day. If you want the rest of my notes, they are there. But if you're not going to read them, don't take them. And if you're going to read that more than your Bible, don't take them. I'd rather you read your Bible than read my thoughts. Amen. Do you love him? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. I spoke to a man this week, and I said, do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. I said, oh. I said, God, yeah. I said, you go to church? He said, I go 3 times a week. I said, that's all right. You're full of the Holy Ghost? I'm full of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, great. I said, what's your girlfriend's name? So he tells me. I said, she Muslim? He goes, yeah, how do you know? I said, you follow Jesus? And he bends his head. He says, Pastor, don't be too hard on me. I says, I'm not being hard on you. You're just feeling the weight of the word. I'm not being hard on you. I love you. I'll not change towards you. I'll come and have a coffee. Doesn't bother me. Can I tell you why it doesn't bother me? Because I'm not answerable. He is. All I have to do is tell the truth. In love. Hear me. In love. Praise the Lord. Who wants the more of God? Who wants to hear the mysteries of heaven? Who wants to be at his table to hear what kingdom is talking about? Oh, I'd love. Isn't it wonderful? I can go to the table of God and hear to Jesus and the Holy Ghost what heaven's about. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, he did it to Abraham. When the three of them came down, remember that? Should we tell them what we're about to do? And did they? Yes, they did. He wants to show you everything for you. But will you please get in a place to hear? Will you still your hearts and still your mind? Will you read your word? We get up to have breakfast. We get up to eat. But can I eat before and start my day? Can I eat of him? However long it is. But please start the day with him. Lift your hands if you want that more. I really believe God's invitation is to everyone this morning who wants the mindset of God. Who wants the mindset of God? You can be crippled, broken. You can be bruised. You can be ripped off. But I'm telling you, the invitation still stands. The invitation still stands for you. The King has made room for you at his table. Failure, brokenness and all, pain and all, come to the table to receive the strength to bring healing to your body. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, we've come this morning to encounter you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Help me to be the seeker of the kingdom first in everything I do. God, I'm bringing my best to your table. I'm bringing my pain to your table. God, I want to eat from your table that my life, like Lazarus, will be a living testimony of those around me, that God's word is preeminence in my life. And Father, I thank you that you've given me a spirit of discernment in the Holy Ghost to discern your ways, for your sheep hear your voice. I receive it. I believe it because you've said it. Now give me the grace to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love him? He's a good God. Bless you. Have a great week, successful week, wonderful week. In Jesus' name, amen.